الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the work of Sheikh Abdul Salam ibn Burgess رحمه الله تعالى أصول الدعوة السلفية أصول الدعوة السلفية نبدأ الدرس بشيء من المراجعة we begin our lesson with some review, see how well you understood some of the issues and topics that we're discussing. We talked about the word asl. We've seen that linguistically it's a foundation or a fundamental or a principle. And in the legislation it has a number of different meanings, especially in the terms of the fuqaha and the scholars of usul al-fiqh. And from that was al-mustashab, meaning that means that the presumed ruling is upheld in a particular issue. And the example of that was al-aslu fil mayta at-tahrim. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the asl with regards to the flesh of the dead animal is that it's forbidden. It's haram. So this means here the mustashab, meaning that that's the presumed ruling. We don't know. Maybe it was slaughtered, or maybe it was not slaughtered. So it's not clear. So what do? We take the presumed ruling with regards to this, which is the asl, and that is that animals that are not slaughtered legislatively, properly, in the correct manner, is forbidden to eat. So therefore, if a man is hunting, for example, he's hunting birds, he shot a duck, for example, and then the duck falls out of the sky. And whenever he finds it, it's in water. Is it allowed for him to eat it? He finds the duck, it's in a puddle of water. And he under the water. Is it allowed for him to eat it? He said, Bismillah, he shot the rifle, and he hit the bird, and it fell from the sky. And then whenever he tracked it, he found it in a small puddle of water, and with his head under the water. Is it lawful? Al-aslu al-tahrim. Al-aslu fil-mayta al-tahrim. He found the bird dead. He doesn't know if the bird died from his shot or if it died from drowning. He found it dead in the water. It could have died from his shot or it could have died from drowning. He doesn't know. He found it and it's dead. So the origin with regards to that is that it's not lawful. It's not lawful because al-aslu fil-mayta at-tahrim. You understand that? This is how the people of knowledge, they benefit from understanding these principles. This is very important in understanding the religion and in specific individual circumstances. On the other hand, they will say, for example, al-aslu fil miyah at-tahara. The asl with regards to water is that it's pure. So nobody would have to come along now and say, is this pure or impure? The water in my hand, for example, in the bottle. What's the asl? It's pure. And maybe somebody could have came and put something in it, right? Some impurity. Maybe some child could have put something in it, for example. But you don't think about these affairs. You don't go into these details. These are from the whispers of the devil. Whether you base your decision and your ruling and your judgment upon the asl, al-mustashab. And that is an asl fil miyah, al-tahara. And also fil ard, yani in the land as well, wa thiyab. As-Sa'di, he mentioned in his Manzuma al-Fiqhiyya, al-aslu fi miyahina al-tahara, wal-ardi wa-thiyabi wal-hijara. The al-asl, what he's referring to here is a mustashab, and it's the presumed ruling with regards to water, with regards to the earth, with regards to garments, with regards to stones, and the likes like this, is that it's pure. So nobody needs to ask, is the floor pure right here? I don't know, maybe a child came and did something here. Is it pure? You don't ask these questions. You just sit down. Similar like that, the food of a Muslim. The asl with regards to the food of a Muslim is that it's allowed. Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she mentioned that there are individuals new to Islam and they're bringing meat from out of town and we don't know if they said the name of Allah or not. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Sammu antum waqulu. You say Bismillah and eat. And he meaning that al-asl fi luhum al-muslimin al-hil. The origin with regards to the meat of the Muslims is that it's halal. So if your brother serves you some food or some chicken, you don't say, is this halal, brother? This is not proper, not legislatively, nor is it from good manners. It's not proper, not legislatively, nor is it from good manners to accuse your brother. Is this meat halal? You're serving me halal meat, or is this pork, brother, or something like this? This is not proper. This is not proper. But anyways, it's in contradiction to these principles. So we learn these principles, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Likewise, it also fi luhum ahl kitab, ماذا? Al-hil, the origin, the asl, the mustashab, the presumed ruling with regards to the meat of the people of the book. Is that it's allowed. Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibatu wa ta'amu alladhina utu al-kitab hilu lakum. Hilu lakum. So the origin is here. You don't have to ask. That's the origin. If it's known to be from the meat of the people of the book, the al-asl al-mustashab annahu halal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would accept their meat and he would eat from that. Even he was poisoned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the shoulder of a Jewish woman. So or a Jewish person. So this is from the meanings here. This is from the meanings of the word asl. So this is very important. But what we're talking about now is what? Usul al-da'wa al-salafiyya. Yani ma tubna alayhi hadhihi al-da'wa. And that which this da'wa is based upon. The foundations and the fundamentals of this call. The call of as-salaf as-salih. The call of as-salaf as-salih. So we begin to read. The author says, مقدمة, introduction. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The author he mentioned, رحمه الله, indeed all praise and thanks is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His help and seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our own souls and from the evils of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever He leads astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of al-Islam. Yani meaning while you are a Muslim, surrendering to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal in obedience. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَالنِّسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. The meaning of this noble verse: O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, meaning from Adam, and from him he created his wife Hawa, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the ties of kinship. Indeed Allah is ever all watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth, and He will direct you to do good deeds and will forgive you your sins, and whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved the great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وكل ضلالة في النار. This portion here, it has a title with the people of knowledge. Who knows it? Huh? خطبه الحاجة. خطبه الحاجة. The sermon of necessity. The sermon of necessity. And it has great benefit in this particular khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would mention this khutbah in many different circumstances and situations. Who knows some of them? Huh? The marriage ceremony, ahsant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he's giving a marriage ceremony, he would begin with khutbah al-hajjah. Also, on the day of Jumu'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would mention this on Jumu'ah. Any repetitive every Jumu'ah, mentioning the same sermon in the beginning, and after that he would clarify and give the main topic of his sermon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, whenever he is doing the marriage ceremony, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would mention the same khutbah, emphasizing the fact that this is very important, and that which is contained here are from the fundamentals and the foundations of al-Islam, and the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Muslim, there's a man, his name is Dhimad al-Azdi, radiallahu anhu. And in al-Jahiliyyah, he used to be a raqi. What's that mean? A healer. He used to make the ruqya. It's been mentioned that in his time, he's hearing about the people slandering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's from outside of Mecca. He's hearing about the people slandering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're saying, Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammadun Majnun. Muhammad is crazy, Muhammad is crazy. Muhammad is insane. Or they're saying that he's touched by a jinn. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever this news reached him, he's thinking to himself, if I meet this man, I'm going to see if I can give him a ruqya. And he said to himself, because I've given the ruqya to many people, and Allah cured many people at my hand. And Allah cured many people at my hand. An indication that he knew that the cure was not at his hands, but rather it was in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it so happened that he came to Mecca. And on the pathway there, he's hearing, Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammadun Majnun. He found the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Dhimad al-Azdi. Dhimad al-Azdi. Whenever he came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he introduced himself. And then he mentioned to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he heard that he's touched by a jinn, that he's lost his mind and the likes like this, and that if he likes, he can give him the ruqya. A man, he's saying this to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you like, I can give you the ruqya. Allah, he cured many people at my hands. And I heard that you're crazy and you're touched by a jinn. If you like, I can give you the ruqya. Maybe Allah will cure you at my hands. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, he did not look at him crazy or talk to him crazy. Rather, he said to him, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. In this manner like this, and whenever he heard that, he said, أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ كَلِمَتِكَ هَذِهِ. He said, well, repeat those words to me again. Repeat those words to me again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he repeated the same words to him again. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ. Until the end of it. And then the man, he said, أَعْطِنِي يَدِكَ أَبَعِيَكَ عَلِ إِسْلَامِ. He said, give me your hand, I'll pledge my allegiance for Islam. He said, I heard the statements of the kings and the soothsayers and the liars and the magicians and the fortune tellers, and this is not the statement of none of them. He said, كَلِمَتُكَ هَذِهِ قَدْ بَلَغَتْ قَمُوسِ الْبَحْرِ. He said, your words here, they reach the depths of the sea. And they reach the depths of the ocean. And he mean that these words here, they're very deep. So he accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, you pledge allegiance for Islam, and likewise for on behalf of your tribe. He said, likewise on behalf of my tribe, the tribe of Azd. All of them, they accepted al-Islam. And all that it took was them to hear khutbah al-hajjah. They heard khutbah al-hajj, the statement here that we're discussing. So these words here are great. And the fact that they're repeated every Jumu'ah, and we hear them, is an indication that we must learn them and study them. Alhamdulillah, has preceded last year that we studied this khutbah al-hajj and this masjid and a number of gatherings. And they're recorded and available for those who are interested to review them and to study them. So all of these verses here, they begin with, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, O you who believe. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this statement here. إِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَأَرْعِيهَا سَمْعَكَ فَأَرْعِيهَا سَمْعَكَ فَإِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ يَأْمُرُكَ بِهِ أَوْ شَرٌ يَنْهَاكَ عَنْهُ. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, if you hear Allah saying, O you who believe, then you must pay attention diligently. Then you must pay attention and listen diligently. Because there's either going to be some good mention that Allah will order you, or some evil mention that Allah will forbid you. And so this is from the understanding of the Salaf likewise, that whenever you hear the likes of this, O you who believe, and we're talking, and Allah, He's addressing you, O Muslim. He's addressing you, O Muslima, any Muslim brother, Muslim sister. You're being addressed directly, O you who believe. So either Allah is going to order you with some good that will be a means to draw you near to Him, or He's going to forbid you from some evil that's going to be a means to turn you away from Him if you were to fall into it. So this is a great benefit. This is how we approach the Quran, listening attentively and hoping to understand and to benefit, especially with regards to the commandments and prohibitions, especially with regards to the commandments and and the prohibitions. On the second verse here, I'll just mention some brief commentary on these. We don't want to spend a lot of time going into detail, especially since we discussed them previously in other classes. But here, whenever Allah, He says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, fear Allah in the manner He deserves to be feared. Likewise, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, has a commentary on this verse as well. And he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, that يَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, to fear Allah in the manner He deserves to be feared. He said, radiallahu anhu, أَنْ يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى, that he should be obeyed and he should not be disobeyed. وَأَنْ يُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى, and that he should be remembered and not forgotten. He should be remembered and not forgotten. وَأَنْ يُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ, and that he should be shown thanks and he should not be shown any ingratitude. So the one who obeys Allah and does not obey Him and remembers Him and does not forget Him and he is thankful and he does not show any ingratitude, then he is the one who has feared Allah and the manner he deserves to be feared. He is the one who has feared Allah in the manner who deserves to be feared. And this is a great benefit here with regards to this. And يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى, وَنْ يُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى, وَنْ يُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ, فَلَا يُكْفَرْ. After this, the author, he says, to proceed. وَبَعَدْ, وَبَعَدْ. And in the proper way, which is correct in the Arabic language, and Allah knows best, this is what we learn from our teachers, you say, وَأَمَّا بَعَدْ. As for وَبَعَدُ, many of the scholars, they consider that a lahan. They consider that a lahan. Even if some of the great scholars, they mention that, and Allah knows best. You say again, أَمَّا بَعَدُ. This is what has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَدْ قَامَتِ الدَّعْوَةُ السَّلَفِيَّةُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأُصُولِ وَلَتِي بَانَتْ بِهَا مَا عَدَاهَا مِنَ الْفِرَقِ النَّاكِبَةِ عَنِ السِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَلَقَدْ دَعَانِي لِجَمْعِهَا أَمْرَانِ ظَاهِرَانِ. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Salafi da'wah is established upon certain principles that distinguish it from other groups that have deviated from the straight path. That which called me to compile these principles was two apparent reasons. Here, the people of knowledge, they will make a side note. And this portion here is called Sababu at-ta'lif, the reason for authoring the work. Sababu at-ta'lif. You can write that on the side here. Sababu at-ta'lif. This is the discussion here. The reason carrying the author to author this particular work, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that there are two reasons. Al-amru al-awwal, ma ra'aytuhu wa ra'ahu ghayri min ta'aluqi ba'd al-jama'at al-islamiyya al-hizbiyya al-ba'ida an manhaj al-salaf bihadha al-ism al-tahir al-sharif. أو ما أدى إلى معناه من الانتساب إلى السلف الصالح رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الذين قال فيهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. He says the first observation both myself and others have made of certain Islamic partisan groups far away from the methodology of the Salaf, any of the pious predecessors, clinging to this noble and pure title or its implication, claiming an affiliation with the pious predecessors, may Allah be pleased with them all, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described as the best of people are my generation, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So the first reason why he's authoring this work and clarifying these particular principles here is because there are individuals who ascribe themselves to this da'wah, and they're in opposition to that. They're mere claims. And they're doing that many times with bad intentions. Some people, they do that based upon ignorance. They do not truly know what da'wah salafiyya, and they heard the people saying something and they follow in line. They follow the people and they take it as a group and the likes like this, and they want to fit in. Other people, they're really deviant. They have bad intentions. And they want to corrupt Islam and destroy the religion and deviate the Muslims from within. So they will plant plants and they will pretend to be upon da'wah salafiyya, but they'll cause chaos and turmoil, and they'll introduce ideas that are foreign and contrary to a salafiyya, and they will take advantage of the youth particularly. The author, he's going to touch on these affairs in particular points, but just to know, this is the reason, and this is a beautiful intention. May Allah accept from him, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's seen people taking advantage of a da'wah salafiyya and using this beautiful, pure, noble name and title to misguide and to mislead the people, claiming that he's from it and he's not. From the worst of the callers, or those who claim to call to the truth and they're calling to falsehood, claim to call to Allah and they call to other than that, waliyadha billah, waliyadha billah. There's great dangers with regards to this affair. There's great dangers with regards to this affair. So there are individuals who call to Salafiyah, so-called, but really they're deviant. And they're misleading the people, and they're not truly calling to Salafiyah. They have opposed these principles, or some of them. They have opposed these principles, or some of them. So this is very important to know. Many people, they are ascribing to Salafiyah today, they don't have a strong foundation in these fundamentals. And for this reason, many of these individuals are confused to the true path, and the callers of that path, and those who are truly upon that path, from those who are making claims, from those who are making claims. So here, there is a benefit. This essential clarification highlights the need to adhere to the authentic teachings of Islam, understood by the three earliest, most virtuous generations, avoiding deviations and innovations that lead away from the straight path. That lead away from the straight path. You need to be upon clarity, because there are people who ascribe to this way, but they are not upon this way. So the author, he says, فَأَقَذَتْ هَذِهِ الْجَمَاعَاتُ الْحِزْبِيَةُ تُصْدِيرُ كُتُبَهَا وَرَسَائِلَهَا بِاسْمِ السَّلَفِ وَأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَهُمْ بِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ يَدُسُّونَ السُّمَّ فِي الْعَسَلِ وَيَخْتَفُونَ وَرَاءَ هَذَا اللَّقَبِ لِلتَّلْبِيسِ وَالتَّضْلِيلِ وَكَمَ اللَّهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْكُتُبُ وَرَسَائِلِ مِنْ مُبَايِنَةٍ لِلْمَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِي وَنُسْرَةٍ لِلْمَذْهَبِ الْخُلُوفِي وَالْفِرَقِ الضَّالَةِ كَالْخَوَارِجِ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَ وَالصُّوفِيَّةِ. He says, so these partisan groups began publishing books and letters under the banner of Salafiyyah and Ahlus Sunnah. And they're claiming that they're upon the creed of Ahlus Sunnah and the methodology of Ahlus Sunnah, and they're calling to Salafiyyah and Dawah Salafiyyah and Aqidah Salafiyyah and Manhaj Salafi, and they're writing works and they're authoring books with regards to this affair. He says, but they're not from them. Rather, they're from those political parties and the likes like this, these different partisan groups. He says, by doing so, they mix poison with honey. By doing so, they mix poison with honey. And it initially looks tasty and very sweet, but the one who partakes in it, what happens to him? It'll kill him. It will kill him or make him very sick. It will kill him or make him very sick. The first time when you see the honey, you think it's sweet. Even maybe you'll taste it and it's sweet, but if it has poison, in the end, the final outcome of that sweetness is very bitter. It's very bitter. So this is the example of these individuals, these political parties and these different jama'at and these different groups, partisan groups and the likes like this. Even if they claim Salafiyyah, even if they dress in the dress of Salafiyyah, even if they speak with some of the words of the scholars of Salafiyyah and the du'at of Salafiyyah, be careful. Because many of them, they're putting poison in the call. They're putting poison in the call and they're corrupting the creed and they're deviating the Muslims and they're destroying the lands. And they're destroying the lands. Look around. Look around in the Muslim lands. So by doing so, they mix poison with honey, hiding behind this noble title to deceive and mislead. Many of these publications by Allah contradict the Salafi methodology and instead promote the ideologies of deviant groups such as the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila and the Sufis. It says, Al-Amr Thani, any of the second issue or the second reason for authoring the work, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, ما قامت به هذه الجماعات أو بعضها من التعلق ببعض أهل السنة والجماعة لتحقيق هدف معين إنما يوصل إليه عن طريق هذا الشخص الذي تعلق به وهو في الحقيقة بريء كل البراءة من هذا التعلق. والله, this is great. Great in such benefit. Great in such benefit. When did the author die? Rahimahullah. Huh? 1425, Ahsant. How many years ago was that? That was approximately which year in the Christian calendar? 2004. About 2004. So he's telling us this before 2004. Before 2004, he's mentioning these affairs. He says some of these groups or individuals among them sought to attach themselves to scholars of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah to achieve specific objectives through their association with these scholars. However, the scholars themselves are entirely innocent of such connections. Many individuals, they connect themselves to the people of knowledge. There's an issue with regards to this. It's called irtibat. Irtibat bil ulama. And it has a good understanding and it has also a wrong understanding. It has a good understanding and has a wrong understanding. These individuals here that he's referring to, they misuse this issue. They get close to some of the people of knowledge, and they take him as a shield to spread their evil and their deviation. Some of them, again, they do that with these foul and evil intentions to harm Muslims, and others, they do that because they want to have authority, and they want to have position, and they want the people to bow down to them. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Both of them were included here in the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّقْبَ أَنْ تُطْرَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِأَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Indeed, the worst desire that could come up in the heart is the person he will seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Worse than that is to do that, to harm the Muslims and to mislead them. To harm the Muslims and to mislead them. We read it again in English. What does he say? Some of these groups were individuals among them, sought to attach themselves to scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah to achieve specific objectives through their associations with these scholars. However, the scholars themselves are entirely innocent of such connections. How would one of them connect themselves with one of the scholars? What would he say? What would he do? What would he do? He will mention the Shaykh's name, no doubt about that. He will mention him and praise him. Huh? What else? I was at his house. Huh? We're getting closer now to what I'm looking for. Huh? Huh? I'm a student. Now I'm a student. That's right. Now we're getting even closer. I study with him. We're even closer. But we're not. This is not what I'm looking for. This is not what the, one of the things that they truly use. Huh? Tazkiyah. Ahsanta. I got a tazkiyah. I got a tazkiyah from him. This is many of them that take advantage of this portion right here. I got a tazkiyah. Not everybody. No, some of them are truthful in that, and they have a legitimate tazkiyah, alhamdulillah. But if we look to someone who has a tazkiyah from someone who is reliable, and then we look at his actions are contrary to that, then this is something to pay attention to. And that tazkiyah means nothing if his actions and his methodology and his manners and his way and his conduct is contrary. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked in his time, it was mentioned to him that these individuals are coming from India. There's individual students of knowledge coming from India, and they're requesting tazkiyat from the Shaykh. And the Shaykh, he said, لِأَنَّ أَعْمَالُهُمْ لَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. He said, they're looking for tazkiyat, and from the people, because their deeds do not give them a tazkiyah. And they're looking for recommendations from the men, because their deeds do not recommend them. Because their deeds, their actions, their manners, their conduct do not recommend them. Do not recommend them. So there's many deceptive tactics that people use to get a tazkiyah. Many of them don't even truly know the Shaykh very well. They'll get close to someone who is close to the Shaykh. Like these people here, this is what they will do. They'll do the likes of this. They'll get close to the Shaykh, and then they'll get tazkiyat for who they like, and the likes like this. Deviant ways of these individuals. We must be careful. We must be careful. We must be careful. So we don't want to go to the extremes, and anybody who has a tazkiyah is deviant like that. And we don't want to also to go to extremes. Who has a tazkiyah, you have to accept everything he says. But rather you look at the person's deeds and his actions and his efforts and what he's upon. Because the people who have a true tazkiyah, any that's reliable and legitimate, they will never deceive the Muslims in the name of da'wah. They will never trick the Muslims in the name of da'wah. They will never take advantage of the Muslims in the name of da'wah. They'll be trustworthy. They'll be honest. They'll be truthful. This is a sign that the tazkiyah is sincere and beneficial. And beneficial. Also from the types of tazkiyat, not in this manner from a particular scholar, to have a degree or a diploma from a prestigious university. This is a type of a tazkiyah. And many of these groups that take advantage of this. So-and-so, he has a doctorah. He has a doctor's degree from this university or that university. Or he has a master's degree from this university or that university. And many of them, wallahi, they're deviant. Many of them, wallahi, they're deviant. There's brothers right now I know from where? From Texas. They have one of those people down there with a big tazkiyah, doctors in this and doctors in that. And he's from the worst of them. Wa'iyadhu billah. He's from the worst of them, misguided and deviant. Wa'iyadhu billah. Wa'iyadhu billah. So this will not benefit. This will not benefit if a person has a tazkiyah, he has a doctor's degree, and he calls to shirk, or claiming that shirk is permissible, or other deviant ways, and watering down their religion, and dealing with the people of innovation like your brothers and the likes like this, and keeping them close, so on and so forth. All of this is wrong. What's the da'wah called? Interfaith da'wah, so on and so forth. Working with the interfaith da'wah, so on and so forth. All of this is not the way of a Salafi. This is not the way of an upright caller to al-Islam. So these tazkiyat, we have to be careful. We don't just accept them for face value. We don't just accept them for face value. Whether if a person, he has them, and then his actions are in accordance with that, we say, Alhamdulillah, light upon light. Jazahullah khairan, barakallahu fi. May Allah bless him. May Allah bless his efforts. And we make dua for him. We benefit from him. But if he has the greatest tazkiyah from the greatest scholar, and we see him contrary to that, deceiving the people or taking advantage of the people, will not be deceived. Some of these groups, this is from a man who died in the year 1425, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Some of these groups or individuals among them sought to attach themselves to scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, to achieve specific objectives through their associations with the scholars. However, the scholars themselves are entirely innocent of such connections. ولكن ولكي يكون الكلام واضحا فإنني أقول إن جماعة الإخوان المسلمين دندنوا حول جهود الشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم رحمه الله فيما يسمونه بالحاكمية فأبرز جهود هذا الإمام في هذه القضايا لظنهم أن ما في كلامهم يؤيد باطلهم الذي انطووا عليه من تكفير الدولة ومن ثم جواز الخروج عليها. To make this clear, and what he's intending now is something even more specific. He says, to make this clear, I say the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, he says the Muslim Brotherhood focused on the works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, may Allah have mercy on him, particularly in what they call al-Hakimiyyah, the sovereignty of Allah, and in the right of Allah for ruling. And Allah, he is the ruler and the judge. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highlighting his efforts on these issues, they falsely believe that this statement supported their ideology, which involves declaring the state, yani of al-Mamlaka Arabiya, al-Saudiya, as disbelievers and legitimizing a rebellion against them. Who is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullah? Who is he referring to now? He's the Sheikh of Sheikh Ibn Baz, and he was the previous Mufti of Al-Mamlak Arabiya Saudiya, from the great scholars of our era. He's the teacher of Sheikh Ibn Baz and the previous Mufti of that time, from the great scholars and cadres of Ad-Dawah As-Salafiyyah. He has great efforts for him, Allahu Ta'ala, and he's from those who founded Al-Jamia Al-Islamiyya Bil-Madinah Al-Nabawiyya, Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, to spread Ad-Dawah As-Salafiyyah, to spread Ad-Dawah As-Salafiyyah. So he has some statements that some of these people, they will take and they will mix them. What they will do, what they say today, Ad-Batar. And they'll cut and paste. They'll go to the statements of the people of knowledge or to the works of the people of knowledge, and they'll find a particular statement in the middle of a context, and they'll take that statement out of that context and say, look, he said this, and look, he said that. And they do that to this day, particularly with the likes of these great scholars, like even before him, like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. They have done that in recent history, claiming that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says it's okay to have a birthday for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took one statement, and that statement, they took it out of a context that has the sabiq and the lahiq, and it has a whole issue discussing before that and a whole issue discussing after that. In the middle of this whole context, they take one statement out and say, look what he said. But if you read that which is before it and you read that which is after it, you will understand what he intends by that statement, and that he does not allow the birthday, and that he considers it to be an innovation. And that he considers it to be an innovation, along with the fact that he mentioned in other works as well that it's clearly an innovation. So the point is that the people of deviation, this is from their methodology. They'll pick and choose statements of the people of knowledge, and they'll take them out of context, and they'll put them in another light, claiming to support their ideology and their way, in order to have back by the name of the scholar. By the name of the scholar. So this is something to be cautious from. So they try to make takfir of Al-Mamlak Arabiya Saudiya specifically, and the other Muslim lands likewise, and from that is using this issue of Al-Hakimiyyah, trying to claim that it's a fourth aspect of Al-Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his beautiful names, Al-Hakim, and also from his beautiful names, Al-Hakim, and no doubt from his attributes, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, Al-Hikmah Al-Baligah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and also al-hukum. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he is al-hakim, he is the all-wise, and he is al-hakim, he is the judge and the ruler. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has al-hukum al-kawni, wal-hukum al-shar'i, wal-hukum al-jaza'i. He has the universal rule. Whatever he allows occurs in his creation, and nothing occurs except that which he allows and rules, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has al-hukum al-shar'i, he has the legislative ruling likewise. Whatever he allows and makes permissible, it's lawful, and whatever he forbids and makes prohibited is forbidden. And likewise, subhanahu wa ta'ala has al-hukm al-jaza'i. Al-hukm al-jaza'i, meaning that he has the judge and the rule with regards to the recompense. Recompensing the good with good and the evil according to their deeds. So no doubt this is from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his tawheed, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and from the fact that the rule is for Allah, and whatever he allows to occur will occur in his creation. This is from al-rububiyyah. This is from the rububiyyah and the lordship of Allah azza wa jal. Whatever he rules and whatever he decrees will occur, and whatever he does not rule and what does not decree, it will not occur. And his is the command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he allows as he wills, and he makes obligatory as he wills, and he forbids as he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the lordship of Allah azza wa jal. He is the Rabb, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it's not an extra aspect of a tawheed that's separate from these aspects, whether it's from the aspect of a rububiyyah, from the actions of Allah azza wa jal, is that he rules and that he judges, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he allows and that he forbids, and that he makes obligatory and impermissible, so on and so forth. So this is from this aspect, it's from the rububiyyah of Allah azza wa jal. Al-hukm or al-hakimiyyah, this is from the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As with regards to us complying to his rule and surrendering and submitting to his rule, then this is with regards to al-uluhiyyah, with regards to al-uluhiyyah, that we have to surrender and submit to the will and to the command and the rule of Allah, the universal command, that which he has ordained, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rule, and likewise the legislative rule. So whenever we comply to his commandments and apply them, and we avoid his prohibitions, then we are singling him out with this and worshiping him based upon that. So the hakimiyyah, no doubt, is from in this aspect from a tawheed, but it's not an individual aspect or fourth aspect. From the aspect of the actions of Allah azza wa jal, is from rububiyyah. From the aspects of the actions of the people, is from al-uluhiyyah, because we single out Allah alone for his rule. And the origin with regards to ruling with the rule of Allah azza wa jal, no doubt it's an obligation. But the one who did not judge or rule with the rule of Allah, the origin is that he would be considered a sinner, like a man who commits fornication, or he drinks alcohol. Is he ruling with the rule of Allah? No, he's not ruling with the rule of Allah. He allows for his family to free mix and the likes like this. Is he ruling with the rule of Allah? No, he's not ruling with the rule of Allah. But does this take him out of Islam? No, it weakens his faith. It weakens his faith, but doesn't take him out of Islam. So these people here, they want to take this issue of hakimiyyah and they want to make it itself individually so that they can take people out of Islam. This is one of their tricks and their tactics that they try to use and implement in order to declare takfir on the Muslims, particularly the rulers. But it's from ignorance and from deviation and misconception. It's a doubt that is flimsy. And then in order to run that, they try to attach themselves to, for example, the statement of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim rahimahullah ta'ala with regards to that. But if you read the details of his works, you will find that he has clarified this issue and that he has mentioned directly his position with regards to the Saudi government. So the author is referring to this. He says, وَكَذَبُوا عَلَيْهِ وَافْتَرَوْا وَاللَّهِ فَمَوْقِفُهُ مِنَ الدَّوْلَةِ وَاضِحٌ لَا غُبَارَ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ تَكَلَّمَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ بِكَلَامٍ حَسَنٍ بَدِيئٍ فِي رِسَالَةٍ إِسْمُهَا نَصِيحَةٌ مُهِمَّةٌ فِي ثَلَاثِ قَضَايَا وذكر موقفه من ولاة الأمر وصرح بوجوب طاعتهم في غير معصية الله سبحانه وتعالى. However, they lied about him and slandered him, fabricating lies. By Allah, his stance regarding the state, they're talking about the Dawla, meaning the Al-Mamlaka Arabiya Saudiya, Saudi Arabia. He said his stance regarding the state is clear and unequivocal. In his well-known letter, an important advice on three matters. He explicitly emphasized the obligation of obeying the rulers in all matters that do not involve disobedience to Allah. فَهَذَا الْكِلَامَ الَّذِي سَطَّرَهُ الشَّيْخُ فِي تِلْكَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَمْثَالِهِ هُوَ مِنْ صُلْبِ مَوْضُوعِ جُهُودِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الْحَكِيمِيَّةِ لَكِنَ الْقَوْمَ كَالَّذِينَ وَضَعُوا أُسْبُعَهُمْ عَلَى آيَةِ التَّوْرَاةِ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ فِي الزُّنَاتِ مُبَيِّنَةً وُجُوبَ رَجْمِهِمْ لِإِخْفَائِهَا وَكَتْمِهَا نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى السَّلَامَةَ والمعافات. It says the writings of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim on Hakimiyyah, as seen in this letter and others, are entirely consistent with his methodology. However, these groups are like those who place their fingers over the verse in the Torah concerning the stoning of the adulterers. hiding and concealing it. And we ask Allah for protection and well-being. And we ask Allah for protection and well-being. We know the narration that he's referring to. The narration of Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhuma. He mentioned in the commentary, he has a point here. He says, number one, this is a footnote. This is from the Shaykh himself. It's mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Umar, anhu, qala inna al-yahuda ja'u ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fadhakuru lahu anna rajula minhum wa imra'a zanaya. فقال لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تجدون في التوراة في شأن الرجم فقالوا نفضحهم ونجلدهم قال عبد الله بن سلام كذبتم إن فيها الرجم فأتوا بالتوراة فنشروها فوضع أحدهم يده على آية الرجم فقرأ ما قبلها وما بعدها فقال له عبد الله بن سلام ارفع يدك فرفع يده فيها آية الرجم قالوا صدق يا محمد قالوا صدق يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها آية الرجم فأمر بهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرجما فرأيت الرجل يحني على المرأة يقيها الحجارة يقيها الحجارة. So here he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that some of the Jews that came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they mentioned to them a man and a woman that were convicted of fornication. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, what do you find in the Torah with regards to stoning? What is the ruling that you find in your book with regards to stoning? And they said, the ruling is that we should expose them and that we should lash them. We should expose them and we should flog them. And he lashed them. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, at this time he heard that, he said, wallahi, you lied. Kadhabtum. He said, you lied. He said, in the Torah is the ruling for stoning. Is the ruling for stoning. So they brought the Torah and they opened it. And then the one who's holding it from the Jews, he put his hand on the book and his finger covering the verse. And he read what was before it and what was after it. He put his finger on the verse that's clarifying the obligation of stoning the one who is convicted of fornication. And he read to the Prophet ﷺ that which was before it and that which was after it. And Abdullah ibn Salam, he's watching this, and he says, raise up your hand, raise up your hand. And whenever he raised up his hand, it was there. And they read the verse. And he clarifying that it's written in their book, the obligation of stoning the one who was convicted of fornication. And at this time they said, oh, he's telling the truth, oh Muhammad. It's there. It's actually there. And he, like they did not know. Like they did not know. This is the way of the deviant. You see how they're trying to deceive. And they're trying to use. But whenever they're called, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, Afwan. Afwan, huh? Like this. My bad. They say, oh my bad. Yeah, that's right. It's there. Trying to pretend like it's nothing. But in reality, they're trying to deceive. Using great treachery with the other bilah and deception. And the likes like this to go around the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal. To go around the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these deviant groups and parties, they're similar like this. They're similar like this. They use tactics similar like those of the Jews. This is also clarified by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in his book, Masail al-Jahiliyyah. Masail al-Jahiliyyah, affairs of the days of ignorance. And in that which the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, they were upon before the coming, before al-Islam. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, that which he opposed them. And in many people who ascribe to this ummah, in reality they're still upon those ways, like these individuals here. Like these individuals here, using deception and cutting and pasting that which is beneficial for them and leaving off that which is in opposition to that, so on and so forth. Or being deceptive and trickery and using trickery and the likes in order to attempt to misuse the statements of the people of knowledge. This is a well-known way of people of deviation. So the author, he says, عَلَى أَنَّ مُصْطَلَحَ الْحَكِمِيَّ عَلَيْهَا مَآخِذْ وَقَدْ نَقَدَهُ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الْكُتَّابِ وَالْمُفَكِّرِينَ وَقَالَ أَنْهُ الدكتور محمد عمارة إنه شعر دخيل على تراثنا القديم واجتهادنا الحديث. So this is with regards to the term hakimiyya. The term itself has been subject to criticism. The term itself has been subject to criticism by many scholars. By many scholars, and rather I should say by many writers. الكتاب والمفكرين. The kutab is a writer, he's not a scholar. It's a difference. A kutab is a writer, people who write in the likes like this. Writers who write blogs and so on and so forth, they're called kutab. والمفكرين, thinkers, right? And this is what he's referring to here. Now, individuals from Ikhwan Muslimun. individuals from Ikhwan Muslimun. So he's mentioning their statements and their refutation of this affair themselves. And he from the aspect of Shahida Shahidun Min Ahdihim. Shahida Shahidun Min Ahdihim. Clarifying that even individuals from their own group have mentioned and rejected and criticized this term. And the individuals who ascribe to their way have clarified that this term is not proper, and they criticize that, like this man here, Dr. Muhammad Amara, described as an alien slogan or an alien slogan to our ancient heritage and modern jurisprudence, meaning something new. And individuals, those who use this term mainly, Ikhwan Muslimun, and these individuals here, they're from Ikhwan Muslimun that he's referencing. His reference to clarify that these people, even themselves, they've clarified, they mentioned that this is not a term that is safe from criticism. He says, وَذَهَبَ بَعْضُ كُتَّابِ كَمُحَمَّدِ سَعِيدَ الْعَشْوَاءِ عَلَشْمَاوِي وَأَحْمَدْ كَمَالُ وَحَافِظْ دِيَابِ إِلَى أَنَّ هَذَا الشِّعَارِ هُوَ نَفْسُ شِعَارِ الْخَوَارِجِ الَّذِي رَفَعُوهُ أَيَّامَ عَلِيِّ بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَهُوَ لَا حُكْمَ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And some writers such as Muhammad Sa'id al-Ashmawi, Wahmid Kamal, and Hafiz Diab have noted that the slogan al-Hakimiyya mirrors the slogan raised by the Khawarij during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, which was, there's no rule except that of Allah. And this is the same claim that the Khawarij they made whenever they declared Ali radiallahu anhu to be a disbeliever. So it's the same methodology in the same way. So these people here from Ikhwan Muslimun, they're from the Khawarij. They're from the Khawarij, and this is what they're attempting to do, is to misuse the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah to revolt against the Muslim rulers and to shed the blood of the believers. So the author, he says, أَعُودُ فَأَقُولُ لَمَّا رَأَيْتُ هَذَا الْعَمَلِ الْمَشِينِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْجَمَاعَاتِ أَثَّرَ عَلَى بَعْضِ شَبَابِنَا وَخَدَاءَهُمْ بِمِثْلِ هَذِهِ الشِّعَارَاتِ أَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ أُصُورًا لِلدَّعْوَةِ السَّلَفِيَّةِ بها يتميز أهل الحق من غيرهم يتميز السلفي حقا من المدعي الكاذب. When I observed how this disgraceful behavior by some groups influenced some of our youth and deceived them with these slogans, I felt compelled to outline the core principles of the Salafi Dawah. These principles distinguish the true followers of the truth from others, separating the authentic Salafi from the false claimant. Separating the authentic Salafi and the true Salafi from those who claim falsely, yet they are liars. So this is here another clarification of the reason, the wisdom why he's authoring this work, because he's seen the youth affected by these scholars and the methodology of these scholars, and their deviant way, taking advantage of the youth and their ignorance and their young age and their prime and their likes like this. So therefore he wants to author these affairs, he wants to author this work and clarify these affairs in hopes that it will benefit the youth. So this is similar likewise to what we've seen in our previous seminar in his work, Awaiq al-Talib, the obstacles in seeking knowledge. Seeing how many of the youth, they're inspired to seek knowledge and have great energy and desire to learn, but they don't know the right pathway, and they're falling in these different obstacles and being deterred and hindered on the path and the likes like this. So he authored that work and those principles with regards to obstacles in seeking knowledge. Anyone who's really going to seek knowledge and be diligent in that, I advise them to read that work and to study that book. And those lectures likewise are available as well. Very important issues discussed with regards to seeking knowledge in order to stay safe from the traps of the devil and the misguided from that, this affair here likewise. So this is from the beautiful intention of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, and in order to defend the da'wah and to defend al-Islam and to help and protect its people, particularly the youth, from them. So this shows great love for al-Islam and its people, great care for al-Islam and its people. And we should take this as a role model, and that we should have love for al-Islam and honor and respect for our religion, and likewise the people of our religion, and never let anyone take advantage of our deen and take advantage of the people of our brothers and sisters. Rather, we will stand up and we'll make effort, and this requires knowledge, and it requires effort, it requires insight, and it requires diligence, requires time, and a person, he will do what he can. So the youth, wallahi, you need to learn, you need to strive to learn the religion, and the foundations of the deen, and likewise after that, seeing the truth clearly, learn that which is in opposition. learn that which is in opposition in order to help and benefit the Ummah and to raise the Muslims back to their high and lofty status. Back to their high and lofty status. So here the author now, he is mentioning some issues about misusing Salafiyya. So he says, فَإِنَّ فِئَامًا مِنَ النَّاسِ امْتَطَوْا السَّلَفِيَّةَ وَهِيَ مِنْهُمْ بَرَاءَ فَالْأَشَاعِرَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَكَذَبُوا وَالْإِخْوَانُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَبَوْنٌ كَبِيرٌ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَبَيْنَ مَنْهَجِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَسِيرُونَ عَلَيْهِ. Some people have falsely adopted the name of Salafiyya while it is entirely free from them. For instance, the Asha'ira claim to be among Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but they lie. They lie. They oppose Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in many foundations with regards to the affairs of Aqeedah, many issues. With regards to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, many issues. With regards to the methodology and the way and understanding the text and the likes of this, there's issues that from the foundations of the religion that they oppose and contradict. So they claim to be from Ahlul Sunnah, as he says, but they lie. But they lie. But wakadabu. And the Muslim Brotherhood also claim affiliation with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yet there are tremendous differences between them and Ahl Sunnah, between their methodology and what they traverse upon. But those who do not have knowledge and light, they will not be able to identify these affairs, especially with the new ways of the Ikhwan Muslimun, the methodology of the Sururiyya. The Sururiyya, any meaning that this is a type of call from the Ikhwan Muslimun, but they decorate in the guise of Salafiyya. And this is not new, but it's new. It's not new, but it's new, and it's very strong. It's taking hold of many people. They think they're following Da'wah Salafiyya, but they're following Sururiyya. They're following a guise of Salafiyya that in reality is the call of Ikhwan Muslimun. The call of Ikhwan Muslimun. They have the same goals and the same aims as the Ikhwan Muslimun, that's to overthrow the rulers, particularly in Saudi Arabia and the other lands, to declare them disbelievers and to cause chaos and the likes like this in the Muslim lands. But they decorate that as if they're Salafis, and they pretend or outwardly appear to call to Tawheed or to the Sunnah, and mention some of the statements of some of the scholars like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab or Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, so on and so forth, rahimahumullah. But in reality, if you look at details, there will be an opposition to this principle specifically. The issue of takfir of the Muslim rulers. The issue of making takfir of the Muslim rulers. So some of these details that will come. So this is very important because many people, wallahi, they're affected by that. They're affected by that. They hear the Tawheed, they like the Tawheed. They hear the Sunnah, they like the Sunnah. They hear the statements of the Salaf, they like the statements of the Salaf. But then whenever you talk about the rule or you talk about the judgment like this, then they go the same way as the Khawarij. They go the same way as the Khawarij. So these principles, these fundamentals of the religion, they're usul of Ahl Sunnah. They're usul of Ahl Sunnah and Aqeedah. They're usul Ahl Sunnah and Manhaj, methodology. So the one who opposes one of these usul, he goes out of the Sunnah. He goes out of the Sunnah. For example, the Qadariyya. The Qadariyya, they had an issue with the Qadr. They had the issue with the Qadr. The people of knowledge in the time, whenever they appeared, they considered them innovators. Some of them went to extremes like that and they disbelieved even. So they didn't revolt, or they didn't oppose this principle or that principle. They opposed one principle. They opposed one principle. In this manner, they left the Sunnah. They're considered innovators. The Murji'ah, likewise, they had an issue with regards to Iman and the actions being from Iman. And the actions being from Iman. So because this is a principle in Al-Islam, from the fundamentals of Al-Sunnah, that Iman is statement, action, and creed. Statement, action, and creed. So they oppose that principle. So the people of knowledge excluded them from the Sunnah. And meaning that they had fallen into innovation and they're considered innovators. Whenever they deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Jahmiyyah, they deny the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the likes like this, the people of knowledge declared them out of the Sunnah. Out of the Sunnah, some of them even out of the fold of Islam. But at bare minimum, they are innovators because they opposed one principle from the fundamentals of the religion, from the fundamentals of the creed. Those who go against the Muslim rulers and the likes like this, they're opposing that fundamental principle and methodology. This is from that way. That's why this issue is mentioned in the books of creed, because of its danger. Because of its danger with regards to the Khawarij and revolting against the Muslim rulers, so on and so forth, and declaring them to be disbelievers because of sins or that which is lesser than disbelief. So to know these affairs, to see them, a person, he has to have light, he has to have knowledge. So if these principles are violated, then that person, he leaves the Sunnah. He leaves Salafiyya. If he opposes one of these principles, he's not a Salafi, regardless of what the people say about him. regardless of what his tezkiyah is, regardless of where he graduated from, So this is very important to learn the fundamentals and these principles. Some people, they'll even say, for example, the Rafi'la are our brothers. They said the Rafi'la are our brothers. The Rafi'la, they curse Abu Bakr and Umar, they curse Aisha and called her bad names, radiallahu anha. Called her bad names, radiallahu anha, and that's our brother. That's our brother. They're not our brothers. So he says, وَهَذِي الْأُصُولَ الَّتِي سَوْفَ أَذْكُرُهَا مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهَا بَيْنَ دُعَاتِ الْمَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِ قَدِيمًا وَحَدِيثًا قَبْلَ وَقَبْلَ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ هَذِي الْأُصُولَ وَأُبَيِّنَهَا بَيَانًا شَافِيًا كَافِيًا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَقُولُ. It says the principles I mentioned are agreed upon by Salafi scholars, both past and present. Before I elaborate on these principles and explain them in clear and sufficient detail, inshallah, I say. What time is it? It's almost been 1 hour, 58 minutes. You tired? You know, these are called Dawrat Mukathafa. This is a Dawra Mukathafa. You know what that means? Intensive seminar. A Dawra Mukathafa. Mukathafa, yani to kathaf al ma'lumat. It's an intensive seminar, meaning there's a lot of information in a brief period of time. So sometimes we have to sit a little bit longer than we normally do. So let's just finish reading what we have, inshallah ta'ala, and we close. We will read, inshallah, with very minimum commentary. So he says, إن السلفية التي تدعو التي ندعو إليها ليست كجماعات الإسلامية الحزبية الموجودة الآن. إذ إن السلفية هي جماعة المسلمين. Indeed, the Salafia that we call to is not like the partisan Islamic groups present today, but rather Salafia represents the community of Muslims, yani the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فكل من اعتقد العقيدة السلفية والتزمها في واقعه فهو السلفي. لا نفرق بين أحد واحد. Anyone who believes in the Salafi creed and applies it in practice is considered Salafi. We do not differentiate between this one and that one. Right? There's no gatekeepers. There's no one who's going to jump you into Salafiyah or jump you out. There's no one going to jump you into Salafiyah or jump you out. If they don't like you, you're not Salafi. And if they like you, you're Salafi, regardless of your creed and methodology. This is from Hizbiyah, not from Salafiyah. Don't get it twisted. Don't be confused. Listen to it. Anyone who believes in the Salafi creed and applies it in practice, practical application in his life, is considered Salafi. We do not differentiate between this one and that one. White one and black one, he's this one, he's got money, he doesn't have money, he's this one, he's here. La. What makes you Salafi is your creed. What brings you into Salafi is your creed and the application of your creed and holding fast in that creed. In the daytime and the nighttime, this is what brings you into Salafiyya. This is what brings you into the fold of Salafiyya. This is what brings you into Islam, is your creed and your belief and the application of that, the implementation of that. No one can make you a Salafi. If so-and-so is your friend, that doesn't make you Salafi. If you sat in the gathering of so-and-so, that doesn't make you Salafi. If you got a test here from so-and-so, that doesn't make you Salafi. If you graduated from this university, it doesn't make you Salafi. Wallahi, many deviants that graduated from Medina, many deviants that got praises from great scholars. They got praises from great scholars, one way or another. They used deviant tactics. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, initially he praised Jama'at al-Tabligh. That's because individuals that came from Jama'at al-Tabligh and they made talbis. They mentioned some good things about the Jama'at, but they didn't clarify the details. So he praised them. And in the beginning, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he praised them. He praised them, rahimahullah ta'ala. Whenever the brothers, they heard about that, the Salafi brothers, they went back to him and they clarified their affairs and the issues that they're hiding, and he rejected his praisal of them. And he rejected his praisal of them. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is something that we must pay attention to. A Salafi is the one who believes in the proper creed. He believes in the Dawah Salafi. He knows it. He understands it. He believes in it. And he follows it to the best of his ability. Alhamdulillah, he's Salafi. No one can take that from him. No one can take that from him. Even if they write about you or they defame you or they lie about you or they do what they do and they do what they do, this is not going to harm a person who's sincere and truthful, whether he will never even care about that. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمْ الشَّيْطَانُ يُقَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. This is just the devil trying to make you afraid. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. فَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا Amen. They will not increase a person who's sincere. He will not increase except in anything except for faith. He says, وَلَيْسَ لَنَا إِرْتِبَاطٌ بِغَيْرِ وُلَاتِ أَمْرِنَا مِنْ حُكَامٍ وَعُلَمَاءٍ وَنَحْنُ لَا نُخْفِي شَيْئًا مِمَّا عِنْدَنَا. We do not have an affiliation with anyone outside of our rulers and scholars. And we do not hide anything that we are upon, meaning our beliefs and our teachings. Our beliefs and our teachings are transparent. بَلْ مَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ مُدَوَّنُونَ مُدَوَّنٌ فِي الْكُتُبِ مَسْمُوعٌ فِي الْأَشْرِطَةِ فَلَا سِرِّيَّةَ وَلَا تَنْظِيمَ سِوَى تَنْظِيمُ وَلِيِّ الْأَمْرِ. Rather, they are documented in books and available in recorded lectures. And our creed and our belief and our methodology, what we call too, is open, it's apparent. We're in the masjid. We're not hiding in somebody's house. We're not hiding under the covers. We're not giving secret orders and commands and the likes like this. We sit in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla on a microphone on the day of Jumu'ah, calling to our call and the likes like this. And what you hear on the minbar, what you hear in the street, what you hear in the car, it's the same call. It's all one call. It's not saying one thing on the minbar or one thing on the microphone and then behind closed doors, oh yeah, this and this and this and this. This and this and this and this. This is not the way of a Salafi. A Salafi is clear. And he doesn't change with the wind. He doesn't change with the trials and the fitting. Rather, he stands firm and he goes straight. He learns these principles and he moves on them, regardless of what the people say or what they like. Regardless of what the people say or what they like. He believes in Allah and the standing before Allah. He believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the messenger of Allah. He believes in Islam and this is his way. He follows Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, regardless of what they say. Regardless of what they say. You like it, you don't like it. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَالْمُبْتَدِئُونَ وَغَيْرُهُمْ. If they don't like it, they don't like it. They don't have to like it. If they don't like me, they don't like me. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to follow what I know. I'm Salafi. They can't make me Salafi. It's the favor of Allah that I'm Salafi. Huh? It's the favor. Ana, you learn usul thalatha. You know your Lord, huh? Rabbi Allah, aladhi rabbani wa rabba jamil alamin bi ni'amihi. Huwa ma'budi laysa li ma'budun siwa. You learn this affair here. You learn this affair here. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. Hashim min Quraysh. Quraysh min al-Arab. Al-Arab min dhuriyat Ismail. Huh? Ibn Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi wa alayhi salatu wa salam. You know your prophet. You know your Lord, you know your Prophet. Al-Islam, al-Istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed, wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'a, wal-bara'atu min al-shirki wa-ahli. They can't take that from you. They can't take that from you. Nobody can take that from you. If you're sincere and you believe, then you're Salafi. Then you're Salafi. This is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not the religion of any man. Not the religion of any man. They cannot enter or exclude anyone from the call of Salafiyyah. You learn, you be sincere, you follow. You learn, you be sincere, you follow. He says here, وَنَرَى الْإِرْتِبَاطِ بِعُلَمَاءِ السَّلَفِ أَمْرًا ضَرُورِيًا وَيُمَثِّلُهُمْ فِي الْقُرُونِ الْمُتَآخِرَ أَئِمَّةُ الدَّعْوَةِ النَّجْدِيَّةِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَمَنْ تَأَثَّرَ بِهِمْ فِي وَقْتِهِمْ وَمَنْ بَعْدُهُمْ. We believe that keeping a connection to the scholars of the Salaf is essential. In recent generations, these scholars are represented by the Imams of the da'wah and najdiyah, yani the call of the scholars in Najd, yani where Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala proceeded from, and those influenced by them in their time and after them. وَنَأْخُذُ الْآنَ عَنْ عُلَمَائِنَا الْمَعْرُوفِينَ بِالسُّنَّةِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَتَلَطَّخُوا بِأَوْضَاعِ الْبِدَعِ وَلَمْ يَتَلَبَّسُوا بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْهَوَى وَهُمْ كُثُرٌ. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ. And we study under scholars known for their adherence to the sunnah and untainted by innovations or personal whims. And there are many, and all praises and grace belong to Allah. And all praises and grace belong to Allah. He says, مِنْهُمْ, from them, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Din al-Albani, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymin, وشيخ صالح ابن فوزان الفوزان وشيخ عبد الله ابن عبد الرحمن الغديان وشيخ صالح ابن عبد الرحمن الأطرم وشيخ عبد المحسن ابن حمد العباد وشيخ عبد العزيز ابن عبد الله عالي الشيخ وشيخ بكر ابن عبد الله أبو زيد وشيخ صالح ابن محمد اللحيدان وغيرهم من إخوانهم العلماء ممن سار على شاكرتهم رحمة الله عليهم أجمعين. Among them they are Shaykh Abdullah ibn Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. We don't have to translate that part, right? It's self-translated, huh? Alhamdulillah. Okay, and others from their brothers, from the scholars who follow their methodology. He just mentioned some of them. And this is because the scholars there, many of them, they're in Ar-Riyadh. And the Shaykh is from Ar-Riyadh. And these are some of his students. But likewise, there are many, as he mentioned, alhamdulillah, and others upon their way, from their brothers, from the people of knowledge, from the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah, from the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, whatever land they may be, and likewise their students. So he says, وَنَحْنُ لَا نَعْتَقِدُ فِيهِمُ الْعِسْمَةِ بَلْ هُمْ بَشَرٌ يَجْرِي عَلَيْهِمْ مَا تَجْرِي عَلَى سَائِرِ الْبَشْرِ مِنَ الْخَطَأِ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَنَحْنُ نَعْتَنِي بِالْعِلْمِ وَنَشْغَرُ أَنفُسَنَا بِطَالِبِهِ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ مِمَّنْ كَانَ عَلَى شَكِيرَتِهِمْ. We do not believe that our scholars are infallible. What does that mean? That you don't believe that everything they say is absolute, you must follow it regardless of what they say, like some of them they say, right? Some of them, they don't say that with their tongue, but they say that with their conduct and their manners. Oh, you can't oppose Sheikh so-and-so. Oh, how can you say, he's this and he's that. Astaghfirullah. نَحْنُ لَا نَعْتَقِدُ فِيهِمُ الْإِسْمَ. We're not Shia. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. That's the Shia that do that. That's the Rafidah. They're the ones who believe that their imams are infallible. And the Sufiyah, they're the ones who believe that you have to be in front of your sheikh like a dead body in front of the man washing him. كُنْ أَمَامَ الشَّيْكِ كَالْمَيِّتَ أَمَامَ الْغَسِيرِ. That's what they say, the Sufis. You be with your sheikh and your teacher like the dead body, the deceased, in front of the one washing him. You just let him do whatever he wants with you. And you accept everything he says and you don't question him. لا, you follow the evidence and proof. That's what the true scholars call to in the first place. They don't call you to blind follow them. They clarify the truth for you, so you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not them as individuals. Not them as individuals. We do not believe that our scholars are infallible. Rather, we believe they are human beings who are subject to the same errors and forgetfulness as anyone else. And sometimes the people of knowledge, they fall into error, and other times they fall into forgetfulness. But the majority of time, those upright, noble scholars, they're correct. So the good that they have and the virtue that they have and the benefit that they bring compared to their errors or compared to the times they're forgetful and the likes like this is like an ocean drowning out those small errors and those small mistakes. You understand that? So they have an ocean of virtue and goodness and benefit that they bring and a few drops of mistake or error or forgetfulness and the likes like this. And the likes like this. So that small issue here of error and maybe a blameworthy trait, for example, is drowned out in the virtue and the good that they bring. On the other hand, those who imitate them and claim to be from them, and they're not from them, if you look at them in detail, you'll find that they have a lot of fitna with them. You'll find that they have a lot of problems with them. You find that they have a lot of deficiencies, a lot of weakness. They bring a lot of trouble wherever they go, and the benefit that they do have compared to that is little. So the good that they have is drowned out in the evils that they bring. So this is something to pay attention to. He says, وَنَقْرَأُ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ كُتُبَ الْحَدِيثِ كَالْأُمَّهَاتِ السِّتِّ وَشُرُوحِهَا الْمَعْرُوفَةِ. And by Allah's grace, we study the six fundamental books of hadith, like the Kutub al-Sittah. What are they? Al-Bukhari, Muslim. Let's say it in order. Al-Bukhari, Muslim. Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi. النسائي ابن ماجه. This is the order the people of knowledge, they run them. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. This is Al-Kutub Al-Sittah. He said, we read these books. We study these books. And all praise and thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we study their explanations likewise. So these books, they have explanations, a number of them. It's very important for a student of knowledge to be aware of them and to be acquainted with them and to benefit from them. وَكُتُبِ التَّفْسِيرِ كَابْنِ جَرِيرٍ وَالْبَغَوِي وَابْنِ كَثِيرٍ وَابْنِ سَعْدِي. He says, and likewise the books of tafsir, we read them like the works of our scholars, the works of the scholars such as Ibn Jarir, al-Tabari, rahimahullah, and likewise al-Baghawi, and Ibn Kathir, Ibn Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Jarir, he died in the year 310. Baghawi, he died in the year 516. Ibn Kathir, 774. Sa'di, in the year 1376. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَنَقْرَأُ كُتُبِ الْأَقَاعِدِ السَّلَفِيَّةِ كَكُتُبِ السُّنَّةِ عُمُومًا وَكِتَابِ التَّوْحِيدِ ابْنِ خُزَيْمَةَ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ شَيْخ مُحَمَّدْ بْنِ عَبْدُ الْوَهَابِ وَنَقْرَأُ سَائِرَ كُتُبِهِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ أَيْضًا وَنَقْرَأُ أَيْضًا سَائِرَ كُتُبِ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ بْنِ تَيْمِيَةَ وَابْنِ قَيِّمٍ وَنُعْنَى بِكُتُبِ أَئِمَّةِ الدَّعْوَةِ من الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب إلى يومنا هذا وعلماء الدعوة الآن هم من أشرت إليهم قبل قليل. He said in Aqeedah, we studied the books of the Salafi Creed. The books of the Salafi Creed, including the books of the Sunnah in general. And the books of the Sunnah in general, meaning those books that are entitled As-Sunnah, or Surah As-Sunnah, or Sharh As-Sunnah, for example. Surah As-Sunnah by Al-Humaydi. We took that here in our previous... And also Surah Sunnah by Imam Ahmad, also Sharh Sunnah by Baba Hari, and the likes like this. These books like this, Sarih Sunnah by Al-Tabari, Also, so there's books like this. They're called a Sunnah, clarifying the creed. Clarifying the creed. We discussed that before. Why they're called Sunnah? Why they're called Sunnah? And it's discussing the creed. As for these Kutub al-Sitta, what are they called? Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Sunan Ibn Majah. This is plural. It's called Sunan. But as for these books here about creed, they call it Sharh al-Sunnah, Usul al-Sunnah, As-Sunnah. These books about creed, they're called Sunnah. The books about jurisprudence is called As-Sunan. What's the difference? Why is that? Huh? Because Aqidah is one. There's only one creed. The creed is one. So they call these books As-Sunnah. As for jurisprudence, laws and legislation, rulings and the likes like this, there's many. There's many sunan to be applied in one day. In the book of Tahara, there's many sunan. In the book of Salah, there's many sunan. In the book of Zakat, there's many sunan. So these books about jurisprudence, they're entitled sunan. As for the books of creed, they're entitled sunnah. Because there's only one. Because there's only one. This is in reality a great benefit. So he says, وَنَقْرَأُ كُتُبِ الْفِقْهِ نَحُثُ عَلَى حِفْظِ الزَّادِ عَلَى شَرْطِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ الدَّلِيلِ وَنْيَتَّبِعْ وَلَا نَعِيبُ مَنْ حَفِظَ مَتْنًا فِقْهِيًا عَلَى شَرْطِ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ فِي أَدِلَتِهِ. With regards to fiqh, he said, we emphasize the study of texts like Zad, yani Zad al-Mustaqna. This is with regards to the fiqh al-Hanbali. With the condition that evidence is understood and applied. And you study these books of fiqh that mainly consist of statements of men, and the author of the book, he will mention it's a book of fiqh. So the books of fiqh are different than the books of hadith. The books of hadith, they have the statements of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The books of fiqh, they have the statement of the author. He's going to say this is halal and this is haram and the likes like this. And they're basing that upon evidence and proof that they have, but many times they will not mention that in the likes of these books. Or they will mention only briefly sometimes. Or they will not mention at all. So he's saying that we encourage to study these books of jurisprudence with the condition that the evidence is understood and applied. And applied. And we do not criticize anyone for memorizing a jurisprudential text, provided they examine its evidence and follow it. Provided they examine its evidence and follow it. So to learn, for example, the madhhab of Hanbali or Shafi and the likes like this, so to study those books, he's saying we don't blame the person who does that, with the condition that you understand the evidence that they're deriving this ruling from, and that you follow the evidence. That you examine the proofs that they mention with regards to that, and follow the proof, not the man in his statement. Follow the proof, not the man in his statement. So you'll benefit from that work, but you're not blind, follow absolutely. You'll benefit from that work, but you're not blind, follow absolutely. Rather, you will follow the evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah. The evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah. So if you study a book of the Hanbali fiqh, and there happens to be an issue that you find out that that statement of that scholar is contrary to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not say, I'm Hanbali, and follow the statement. After you see the clear evidence of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentic. At this time you say, I'm Hanbali, alhamdulillah, I study this fiqh, but this position here that they have is not strong based upon the evidence that has reached me, so I follow the evidence in this issue. There's no blame in that. This is what he's saying. He says, وَنَحْنُ نُبْغِضُ تَعَصُّبَ وَنَنْبِضُهُ نَبْذًا كَامِلًا وَنَعْتَنِي بِالنَّحْوِ وَالصَّرْفِ وَنَنْظُرُ فِي كُتُبَ الْأَدَبِ وَالشِّعْرِ وندعو الناس إلى إصلاح أنفسهم بإصلاح أقائدهم وأخلاقهم وبالاجتهاد في العبادة. Our methodology and our approach is what he's mentioning here. So he says, we reject blind partisanship entirely and strive to eliminate it. We pay attention to the study of Arabic grammar and morphology, and we also value literature and poetry. And we call people to reform themselves by correcting their beliefs, improving their character, and striving in acts of worship. ونحن على تطبيق السنن ونشجع على إحيائها. And we actively encourage the application of the sunnah and promote its revival. ونعتقد أن من سعى إلى إيجاد سلفية حزبية على نمط الجماعات الحزبية الموجودة فقد أخطأ وأننا منه براء. And we firmly believe that any attempt to create a partisan Salafiyah modeled after existing political parties is a grave mistake. And we disassociate ourselves from it entirely. فهذا جملة ما نحن عليه. نسأل الله تعالى أن يسددنا وأن يؤيدنا وأن ينفعنا وينفع بنا إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وهذا هو تفسير أصولنا أو تفسير بعضها. In conclusion, he says, رحمه الله, this is a summary of our stance. We ask Allah to guide us, support us, benefit us, and make us beneficial for others. Indeed, he is the one who has power over all things. These are the details of our principles, or the details of some of them. And we close with that. Sorry for taking so long this evening. Inshallah, we have class after Fajr. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.